the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Yes, thank you for tuning in. We are live here on Rant EM Radio. When it's Sunday afternoon / evening, pay-per-view weekend. Of course, immediately following this show will be the pre-show for the next WWE pay-per-view. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Right now we're here to talk comic books. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm the man referred to as the surfer. I got a confession to make, people. And this has been struggling, whether I should tell everybody this, for a long time now. And I think I'm not getting any younger, so I might as well be honest with you. I can only read comic books because of the pictures. Like regular books, they make my brain hurt. And so, there. That's it. That's all I gotta say. Thanks for listening. Good night. Now, seriously, we had to talk comic books. Can't do it alone. I want you to join me because I have nobody else to talk comic book with for a weekly basis. I wish I did. Well, who's that?
I think that's your co-host, Jordan Worth-Cobb here.
Oh, Jordan, still toughing it out with me. Okay, yeah, my co-host, everybody, Jordan Cobb.
Correction, Ranty Award-winning co-host.
Oh God, we got to do something about that.
All right.
See, you just have not been livable with since you allowed this victory to go to your head.
I don't know what you're talking about. Now, if you excuse me, I have to polish my crown and my award. Oh, nice and shiny. It's the most beautiful thing ever.
Since you have a limited amount of time, how are you? How have you been? How's your week?
Tired. My family, the ones moving here, finally got all their shit moved in. Yet they're still over here because they're joining us for dinner and
so
all that.
So are you sharing a bedroom or you got kicked out of your bedroom?
No. They are in their own house now. They have moved in. They just need to get some extra furniture, but that ain't our problem.
They're not staying with you anymore.
I get some peace and quiet in my house.
Oh, so they moved out. You kicked them
out?
Yeah, they got
their house. They got all their shit moved
get
into
out.
Their house.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Lance. Yeah, and I was able to actually get out of the house yesterday to have some moments of peace and quiet by visiting my lady, which was awesome.
Well, you know, Jordan, let me tell you what you have to look forward to. When you're on your own one day, all right? Now, everybody, you don't have to listen to this. See, Jordan. See, you know when you have freedom. See, when you live by yourself. See, when you can wake up and have an all new day. Decide, I'm not wearing no underwear. I'm not wearing no clothes. I'm just going to walk around my house butt naked.
Oh, yeah, no. When I officially get my actual for realsies own place, it will be clothing optional.
All right, you can bring the tits back.
And also, to celebrate that new day, I will be playing the new day theme nonstop.
All right, you can bring the kids back into the room, people.
Anyway, yes, let your kids join. Your kids probably like comic books. If you haven't shown your kids comic books, why aren't you? I'm not going to comment on your parenting skills, but you should probably let your kids read some comic books. So they can come on and tell us what they think about those comic books. And you know how they can join us? They can join us a couple ways, and you can too, because the What Are You Reading comic book show is all about interactivity. Yeah! I said that on for flair. You're welcome. So, a couple ways you can join us for the What Are You Reading comic book show is to, you know, Skype us. You can call and or just add and call the contact SilverSurfer_forever. That's all lowercase to help out your search. Or you can join me, Surfer, and Stanley Kubrick, and Phil the Impact Player, Rhea, in the chat room by going to www.rantianrio.com/chatlisten-live. It is there at www.rantianrio.com/chatlisten-live that you can chat with us in the chat room and listen to us live on the air. Now, if you can't listen to us live, that's a damn dirty shame, and you should feel disappointed as a human, but that's okay. We do replay on the station on a loop with all the other previously recorded shows after they're done on a loop until the new episode starts. But if you can't even do that, okay, we're busy. I'm busy. You're busy. We are all busy people, and we can only enjoy things on a certain amount of time, and when we relax. So you can listen to our show and any other show on Rant EM Radio at your own convenience. By these several platforms. We're on Stitcher Internet Radio. We're on Podbean. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio. But of course, there is the almighty iTunes. We need to get an echo effect for that so I can, like. Anyway. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcasting section on the iTunes Store. And while you're there subscribing, rate us 5 stars and leave a review for either this show, any other show, or the entire network. It'll just help us out greatly. And, of course, there is the What Are You Reading comic book show Facebook page. Yes, we are on Facebook, where we update the page daily with news that will be discussed later on in the week on our show. And you can comment on those links. We'll talk to you. You can even just post on our wall asking us what we think about certain comics or just be like, hey, what's up? And we'll respond. We love to talk to our people. And I'm done.
Now, Jordan, I want to congratulate you for helping. Last week, we corrupted a new person, and Greg. We're setting him down the dark path of comics.
He will become one of us.
Mephisto told me to personally thank you for your hard work.
And you are welcome, almighty Dark Lord. You are welcome.
You know, hopefully they won't realize that this show is really only set up. We work for Mephisto, and Mephisto wants us to corrupt as many souls as we can, and so by getting them into comic books, reading
that's
them and stuff,
true.
That you know his power.
I mean, there's still
grows.
One major decision I don't agree with Mephisto on that he made, but yes, we do like to serve our Dark Lord. And said corruptible soul is in our chat room now, Greg Corona Jones.
Yeah, so you know, he's saying that your just desserts will come to you when the time comes. So expect him to double cross us. Anyway,
but until then, we have box office numbers.
All right, so for as far as box office, new number one movie. It's not Captain America 3 this time. It's Angry Birds. Eked out the first place of the weekend for $39 million. The video game, that movie based on a platform video game, a bird's kicking pigs' asses. I saw it. It was just okay. Some people like it better than others. Now, whether it's successful or not is another story. Captain America did come in second place, brought another $33 million. It's a 17 day totals now $347 million. It's the top grossing movie of the year, both domestic and worldwide, because worldwide has passed $1 billion. It's $1,053,000,000.
Yeah, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole has now grossed $10 billion and become the highest-grossing film franchise of all time.
Yes, and yeah, we talked about that last week. In 10 years, they've already crossed $10 billion, so. At this point. Now, let me ask you.
Yeah?
So, now, Cap 3 is the latest billion-dollar movie in this thing. But is it because of Cap? Is it because of Robert Downey Jr.? Because outside, he's the only one to have a billion-dollar movie in Iron Man 3, plus the two Avenger movies made over $1 billion each. So, do you think it's because Cap's popular or because Robert Downey Jr. is in the movie?
Well, I think it's simply because Cap's popular, and here's why. Like, there was all the reception and the immediate fanfare Winter Soldier got when it came out spring 2014. Mm-hmm. It was just incredible, and the reception to even the first Avenger was like, wow, we weren't expecting anything of this. Now we love it. And it's that Captain America's a fascinating character. Yeah, sure. You put Robert Downey Jr. on there, you're going to get fucked. Sure, he may have had a factor, but I honestly do believe it's that audiences are actually captivated by Captain America because he's not a jingoistic hero. He's not like, yeah, everything sucks except America. No, even he realizes, like, America kind of sucks, it ain't perfect, and Captain America isn't for America, but the people of America. He's a man of the people.
I know they were worried about Captain America selling because of the name. In the first movie, they made it, they made the title First Avenger.
Exactly. And
that was mainly for the overseas market.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's how, again, Captain America is one of the most perfectly translated characters from page to screen. The Captain America movies and Captain America and the MCU as a whole has been perfectly translated because it shows the Captain America I know and love. And I know you know and love and read as well. Now, like, again, he's a man of the people.
Now, the thing is, Winter Soldier, that is a definite American movie. It's a spy thriller, it's like, you know, everything about it is about, you know, America as far as, you know, everything's now on the up and up and so on. Let me finish real quick. It's not the number one America, you know, we're number one, but it's just everything about it. But this was a more international picture, you know, traveling to different parts of the world and blowing shit up here and there. So, I kind of see why it did better, because, you know, when you make movies that go around the world, and then people get excited for seeing their own backyard. Anyway.
I fully agree. Captain America is a fully American movie, even within the comic. And you had a few different locations outside of the U.S., all that. But, yeah, it's still... But still, even though a Winter Soldier was a steady fast American movie, it still proved to be very well received across the board.
Yeah, because it was a spy thriller, and people wasn't expecting that. Because the first one, that's a throwback classic of Raiders type of, you know, 40s, and it was done well. But anyway, let's get to some TV. Television. Yes. Let's start with the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, we got a couple finales to talk about, so let's get to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wait, time out. Most of them haven't come yet.
No, we got. I said a couple finales, i.e., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Legends.
Oh, Legends. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, that's.
All right, so.
Alright, let's go. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, the through story was that Agent Ward came back from another planet as a new inhuman called Hive, and he had this diabolical plan to take over the world by turning most of the humans into inhumans and slaves to his will. And one of the things he could do is corrupt other inhumans and make them work for him. And he did that to Daisy. So Daisy was running around under his influence thinking she was doing the right thing, helping Hive take over the world. And the week before, she was freed from his influence. But Hive already set things up where he was going to infect the world with his will, so he could turn them into inhuman slaves. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had to stop him. And so they had a two-hour finale. And one of the things Daisy experienced during the season was she saw a vision where somebody on the team was going to die, and she kind of wanted to stop that from happening. She wasn't sure it was going to be herself or someone else. And of course, they've been touting this all season long. Yeah, someone's going to die. Someone's going to die. I'm really starting to hate when they do that on any show.
Yeah, especially since the one thing that annoyed me, and I do, and I do mean annoyed me during this finale, was like the clue. There was a clue in that vision. Like, there would be a crucifix necklace suspended in the gravity and amongst all the blood.
In somebody's jacket.
And they did this game of hot potato with the damn crucifix passing from person to person. And I thought, okay, it's kind of clever at first. But as the finale went on and on, I was like, oh, Jesus, fuck, this is already tiring. I don't care.
My thing is, you know, like, TV shows always think they have to kill somebody off. Like, we want to see, like, that's the only way to make stakes worth people, something. Yeah. But I don't always feel that way. But if you're going to kill somebody, let's not advertise it. Like, let it be a surprise and a shock.
I agree. Like, one example I love of a surprise, like, sudden killing effect event. Spoilers if you haven't watched Angel. So, when Winifred Ferkel in season 5 of Angel just dies, like, suddenly, after she and Wesley were finally able just to get to say, fuck it, and get together, that was effective. I didn't see it coming at all. I wasn't expecting it. It affected me. It hurt. But see, a big reason why I'm a bit down on this finale of Angel was like, yeah, someone died. Someone's gonna die. I'm like, it's very not effective. And once we did get to that death, I felt nothing for two reasons. One, I knew it was coming. Two, I didn't feel anything for who it was.
Yeah, I mean, all the people they picked, like that particular character, they didn't develop him correctly.
Can I do a spoiler countdown so we can just go further into it?
People know we do spoilers on this, so if they they can tune in away. People you already know we're talking about the TV show, so we're not gonna. Yeah. Dance around what happened. So anyway, the person who ended up dying was Lincoln.
Who
was introduced last season as an inhuman. You know, he had a reluctance of joining the team from the beginning, and you know, he was on the run for a long time from the ATU? What's it called?
ATCU.
And then finally he came aboard because he, you know, had his nose up in the air for Daisy. But, they never gave you a reason to like him. And so
here's the thing.
It's no big deal that he was the one who died. Taking out Ward, a.k.a. Hives, Now, my whole thing is, they did a 2-hour show that was just very underwhelming.
Here's the thing. I really didn't care that much for Lincoln, in all honesty. I just really didn't feel too much of anything for the character. So his big sacrifice just kind of fell on deaf ears for me. I wasn't that invested in him, nor the actor, to be honest. And, this 2-hour finale, I didn't really feel it kick into high gear motion until, like, the last 30 minutes. And then it kind of petered out again once it became clear who was going to die. Because, again, I wasn't that invested in Lincoln to be emotional or upset about his death.
And, of course, the show kind of ended with them hinting that S.H.I.E.L.D. is not the same because of everything that took place in this season. Plus, the what went on in the Captain America movie. So, apparently, at this point now, Agent Coulson is no longer the director. There's a new director. Now, whether that's someone we've already seen, whether that's Fury took back over, or
it's unclear. Right. Daisy's on the run vigilante Quake.
Yeah, I don't get why she's on the run. Like
the scientist that was introduced late into the season, Holden Radcliffe, has turned his artificial intelligence, Ada, into an LMD, aka life model decoy.
So is this life model decoy going to be Ward?
Can I ask you this? Did you at all interested or slightly intrigued by that 6 months later intact? Because I kind of wasn't.
Yeah, if you don't know, in the S.H.I.E.L.D. book, they have these things called life model decoys, which are like S.H.I.E.L.D. always used them to...
They're androids.
They use them as androids to go in dangerous situations when they don't want to risk their own lives. Fury used them a lot to, you know, like if he thought he was going to be in a no-win situation, he's sending a life model decoy, and then you think he's dead. Really, it's a decoy, and Fury's sitting away in some bunker somewhere laughing at you and shit, so... I'm waiting for season 4, but they really need to decide whether or not they want to put some stronger writing into it.
I kind of don't feel. Part of me isn't feeling a need to want to follow this show outside of reviewing it for here because.
Most of the season I thought came across okay. I just thought that you know the ending didn't. Because, like, mid-season finale, I thought was pretty strong.
I agree. That was a definite high point. But I think in the second half of this season, it just kind of struggled. And again, part of my problems with the finale were carried over from problems I had with the penultimate episode last week.
And then, like, one of the things, like, they were taking on Hydra. They need to stop making us think that Hydra's being destroyed half the time, because we know they're not being destroyed. Hydra is always going to be there. So they made us see a couple episodes ago that Hydra was taken out. But come on, that's who y'all fooling? But anyway,
okay. You know what? Like season 3 overall. Like, what kind of grade would you give it?
I give it a B minus.
I'm kind of stuck between that or a C+.
I thought there was some good things about it, but it kind of got off the once Hive's full plan went into motion, that's when everything started to you know not stay together coherently as far as what kind of story they was doing and.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you kind of petered out for a second.
That's you.
There wasn't anything on my end going on.
Yeah, it's always your Skype. Anyway, so like I you know, making Coulson a regular agent, maybe that's what it needs. Maybe we'll see. Him and Mac is they're searching for Daisy, and you know, maybe Maze, the new director. Maybe what's the general's name? No, Talbot. Maybe it's Talbot. Who knows? Anyway,
Glenn Talbot. That's the name.
So the other show ending this week was Legends of Tomorrow, which yes. I thought was a pretty strong finish.
Yeah, I agree. This was actually a much better finale than Shields, and it was kind of more interesting to me for the character work than it was the story. But again, good. The character work on this show is good enough to hold up against some episodes where it wasn't quite as strong in the story department.
So Rip Hunter took a handful of hills and villains out of time to help him stop Vandal Savage from taking over the future and murdering his family. Only to find out everything they did during this entire course of the show was helping Savage. And in the end, he didn't save his family or stop really Savage from taking over. So even though the main character, Rip Hunter, who worked for the Time Masters, and it turned out the Time Masters were helping Vandal Savage take over the Earth, his group stopped the Time Masters from helping Savage. But now there's the situation where Savage is still in the power he's been accumulating, and now he has a new plan to rewrite time and start over from when he first got his abilities to become immortal so he could take over the Earth from that point. And so the team has to stop Savage. And at first they want to, but Rip does not want to bring them along. But then they convince him, no, we need to stay together as a team and save Hawkman and Hawkgirl, who, of course, has been captured by Vandal Savage. And Vandal Savage is an immortal because he takes the life of Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and which keeps him alive throughout the centuries. And so they figure out Vandal Savage's plan to rewrite time, and they go in and stop him from rewriting time, plus stopping Vandal Savage once and for all, putting an end to his tyranny. And then of course, now, with no Time Masters, only Rip Hunter, it's a question whether this team wants to stay together and help keep the timeline safe or go their separate ways. And some of them decide to go their separate ways, and some of them decide to stay with Rip Hunter and help him keep the timeline safe. Did I miss anything?
Oh, yeah. As they're about to leave...
Well, no, I was going to get to that.
No, you didn't miss anything.
Okay.
I thought I did it.
No, I was going to say that, but I was going to give you a chance, and then I was going to come in with that last part. So what'd you think of an episode? Jordan. Damn it, Jordan. Get your shit together. Jordan.
I'm right here.
You're not talking. Speak up. What'd you think of the episode?
I really liked it. Again, I found, while the story was a bit, you know, for the finale, I thought, yeah, the character work is still the biggest strength of the show. The character work was absolutely amazing. I loved this. It really held up and showed, yeah, why I honestly did enjoy this entire first season as a whole. It really worked on the characters and how they interacted, and also some of the fun that could come from the separate team-ups and all that. It was very interesting, very fun. The effects for this episode in particular, on point. Fantastic work on the effects team. Give them a raise, CW. And I found it very compelling, and the end tag with the ending with Hourman made me
Now, just as the team, the members that decide to stay with Rip Hunter and go help him keep the timeline safe, and they're about to board the ship called the Wave Rider, another Wave Rider comes out of the time stream and crashes. And they discover that if they get on this ship, they're all dead, and someone from the future was sent back to warn them.
By Mick.
Yes. And he is a member of the Justice Society of America. So that's what they're hitting at in season two, that they're going to
be... Man, a.k.a. Rex Tyler.
That the Justice Society is going to be heavily involved in season two, because Legends of Tomorrow, you know, some of the members would change because it's an anthology series. And I'm surprised so many of the... I thought like they was going to swap out all the characters next season, but apparently some of them are staying on for the long haul. And it looks like Legends of Tomorrow is going to be either a full season or it's at least going to be for the first half of next season, it'll be on the air.
Well, yeah, which, by the way, I'm fine with. That'd be fine. But yeah, I'm excited because I'm a big JSA fan. I love the Justice Society, especially...
Yeah, but, I mean, what members are they going to do, and how are they going to pull off their powers?
I agree. Well, we got you know, Hourman, so, you know, well, he's one of the absolute musts. Okay, we did lose Hawkman. Shit. But, hey, we got the Atom. No, wait, that was a different Atom. That was Al Pratt. Hey, we can bring on Dr. Fate. And we can transport Jay Garrick from The Flash, introduce Spectre, and hey, how about we bring on the absolute best JSA member, Stargirl? I would love Stargirl to be on there. That'd be amazing. That'd be just awesome. Magog, Dr. Midnight. I'd love Dr. Midnight to be on there. Or, hey, let's bring on Constantine for Shits and Giggles for next season.
Well, I think they did talk about using Jonah Hex next season. I don't know how.
Oh, I would love that.
Now,
how about what about Hakeem Funder? He was a pretty cool JSA member.
I don't know about that. But... I know you was excited about this week's Flash, and basically, the Flash got his abilities back, but everything's not good in Central City because it's overrun with metahumans from Earth 2 led by Zoom.
And they are just wrecking shit. And yes, I was very happy. Thanks for get ahead of that. But yeah, shit's bad here.
So the Flash is working overtime to try to stop all these metahumans. Central City Police is just overwhelmed with trying to stop the metahumans. They have some way of dealing with them, but a lot they don't, and it takes the Flash to take out most metahumans. And Wally West, who's been there for half the season, slowly been developing him as a character, wants to help because he feels responsible for the Flash losing his powers, and trying to do what he can. But I mean, until he gets his own speed abilities, you know.
Why?
Which they've already primed him. He got hit by the particle accelerator.
He got hit by the residual speed force. From the particle accelerator explosive recreation that helped get Barry his powers back, which have increased his, I would say, optimism, because he's like pushing himself to a limit, going for out. Hence why I think Invincible was a good episode title, because he's okay. That's a key component of Barry Allen, that he's optimistic, that he's hopeful. But it gets, like, tested in this episode.
And so the Flash of the game realized that to stop these metahumans, because the different Earth vibe on different frequencies, they can find the right frequency, they can disable most of the metahumans from Earth 2. And they put that plan in effect to stop all the metahumans except Zoom because he's too smart. And he gets away. And they think, oh, it's over. We've stopped everybody.
Yay.
It's time to celebrate.
Take an ice cream.
And when everything is all happy and everybody's around the dinner table and celebrating, here comes Zoom taking Barry Allen's own pappy away. Killed Barry's father right in front of him.
Much to recreate the moment of what happened to Zoom.
So. Now, is that a good thing? Like, okay, so Reverse Flash kills his mother, and now Zoom kills his father. It's too much repeating of the same thing. Is that a good thing?
Okay. Now, I will agree. Too much repeating. And look, I will say this. I love this episode, minus the death of Henry Allen. Now, the thing is, but let's face it, by this point, Joe West is pretty much more so Barry's father on this show than Henry is.
Well, that's the thing. Like the guy, John Wesley Sipp, plays Barry Allen's father. Like, they kind of got rid of him this season. Like last season, the deal was he was sitting in jail because everybody thought that he killed Barry's mother, right? Nora Allen. But, you know, it was discovered that he didn't, that the person who did kill confessed, so he was released. So you think now he's going to be part of the show. And he goes, "What? You know what, son? I think I ought to move out of town so you can be free to be the Flash, so I'll see you later." So he, like, doesn't come back for months on end, and then he shows up, like, once throughout the season.
Yeah, every
and then he
few
goes away again.
Well, okay.
And then he shows up again near the end of the season.
Okay, well, here's the thing. In the comics, I always like that dynamic of Barry still sticking with his father, being like, "Hey, I ain't ever leaving you." I mean, but I will say, for this show, to show a difference, I am pissed that Henry's dead, but I would be angry if it was Joe that was killed. Because, again,
I thought Joe was going to die last season.
I would have been beyond angry if that had happened, because
I thought he was going to be the sacrifice of season one.
Well, let's face it. Joe West is actually pretty much the heart of this show.
Yeah, I mean, when he goes, it will be devastating. But you never know what these TV creators.
Well, no, I do agree. But again, like, he's the heart of, you know, Joe West. Jesse L. Martin is the absolute heart and center of this show.
Now, of course,
I will say, quickly. I think this leads into the more that, yeah, it's John Wesley's ship that's playing Jay Garrick.
Man, why you gotta, you son of a bitch? I'm going to say that. That's my theory, damn it. there's a guy being held by Zoom on Earth 2 that has a mask. Now,
yeah, an Iron Mask.
Iron Mask, right? So Zoom was pretending to be Jay Garrick, who's the original Flash from Earth 1 and, like, an older speedster. But we've always thought, since this guy was introduced, that he's the real Jay Garrick. But we don't know what he looks like. And
so
when they hold up, let me finish real quick. Okay, when they first announced that John Wesley's ship was going to be on the Flash, everybody assumed that he would play Jay Garrick because he was the original Flash in the 90s. And so it would be perfect if it is John Wesley Shipp playing Jay Garrick from Earth 2. And he does get to play the older Flash on this show.
Yeah. Now, again, with this and how they're still playing, they're holding their cards to their chest about the identity of the man in the Iron Mask, it just seemed all the more, like, it. No, John Wesley Shipp on Earth 2 is Jay Garrick. And if you remember a couple episodes ago, Henry said to Barry Garrick, he recalled that Garrick was Henry's mother's maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
So I think definitely next week we will get the answers to who is the man of the Iron Mask, and it's Jay Garrick, and that's going to be played by John Wesley Shipp. Again, that was the only minor problem I had with an otherwise great episode of Flash, especially with Katie Cassidy coming on as Laura Lance's Earth 2 doppelganger, Black Siren.
Do you think that's a stab to the face that they keep bringing her back after killing her off for no reason on Arrow?
Well, I'll say this. It seemed like in her Flash appearances, Katie Cassidy got to have a lot more fun with her role.
Mm.
That's just something I noticed myself personally. I could be reading into shit, but who knows. But again, otherwise, a really great episode of Flash, minus the death of Henry, which, again, I'm not too upset by it to say, like, ah, frick this shit. I'm only minorly upset. Again, if it was Joe West, I'd be on here screaming about it.
Well, Preacher on tonight, you taping it?
Yeah, I'm gonna be watching Extreme Rules with a few friends, so I will be taping it. And if you want to know any further of my thoughts, I will be reviewing Preacher on DontHateTheGeek.com weekly on Mondays.
So now you work with someone else. Oh, okay.
I told you it was a side job.
I see how this works.
You can't be surprised. I told you this already.
Now, let's get the Arrow real quick.
Penultimate Arrow.
So, Damian Dark set off a nuke, and the Arrow gang tried to stop it, but it could not, and it did hit into this small little town, killing off tens of thousands of people, making Damian Dark a lot stronger because the demon which he worships gives him power as he gives this demon life force. And so, Damian Dark is now uber strong, and it looks like that Arrow and his cohorts cannot stop him. Meanwhile, they are still looking for Thea, who's in this little underground safe haven bunker being held against her will. And there's a bunch of people that's part of Hive's plan to repopulate the Earth. And they safe under in this underground city. But there's a guy who's a problem in the monkey wrench. A monkey wrench to the plans of Hive. Namely, Anarchy. He has a hard-on for Damian Dark and his wife, Reva Dark, and wants to kill them both, and has gotten into this little underground haven and is ready to destroy everyone just to get his revenge. And so the Green Arrow and Diggle find a way into this place to rescue Thea, but now they're in a situation where they have to try to stop Anarchy from killing a bunch of innocent people who are just there just to wait things out. They're not really part of Hive evil plan, but they're not really, like, what would best describe them?
Crazy?
Yeah, I mean, they just there. Like, they drank the Kool-Aid into... Okay, let me backtrack real quick. This whole season has been Hive doing stuff to make the town of Star City more dangerous to live in than ever. You know, these thing people called ghosts are attacking here and there. So the town people are fed up, and so they bought into what Damian Dark was feeding them. Like, yeah, we'll keep you safe. Just come stay with us, and we're going to restart, you know, civilization, because this place is corrupt, not realizing that the reason why it's so corrupt is because Hive is behind it. So, you know, they are innocent. And so Damian Dark, trying to nuke most of the planet, has these code called Rubicon, which it's set up to stop people from launching nukes, but you can use it to launch nukes. So The only people that can stop them is Felicity and her father. The calculator, right?
Yeah, calculator.
Right. So they're trying to stop Hive and Felicity's ex-boyfriend, who's known as Brother Eye, from getting into this program to launch the rest of the nukes. And so it's a race against time to stop the nukes and to find Anarchy before he causes damage to people who just trying to keep their head down. And Thea, Queen, who was, of course, Oliver's brother, is being drugged into following orders from her father, Malcolm Merlyn. This motherfucker, he is the evil that keeps on eviling. Wouldn't you agree about Malcolm?
Malcolm is... Malcolm's a fucking dude.
You know, they say, yeah, I should have killed you when I had the chance. They did kill that motherfucker in season one, and he still came back. So, why do they think it's...
Also, man, like, if Theo just wants to directly grab an arrow and stab it right into Malcolm's head, like, right into the brain, I really can't blame her.
Malcolm is not that... He would never let Theo just stab her. I mean, he's too on guard for that, so...
Well, true, but, you know, he'll try and stop and try and convince him, like, look, I'm your father. I'm trying to protect you and all that. And she'll just take advantage and be like, stab, fuck you, Dad, peace out.
Now, of course, since this is almost the season finale, Hive's plan for world domination is stopped because of Anarchy, and... He does get some revenge on one of the two people he once killed, because Reve Dark is killed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, her death should have been a lot more satisfying than it actually was, because she's not innocent. She was kind of evil, but no one really don't care that she died. And now Damian Dark has nothing else to live for but to see the world burn. Did I get that right?
Yeah, pretty much. And also, stuff happened on the flashbacks.
The flashback got us closer to, I guess, Damian Dark getting this idol to get his powers, which I don't know how he is going to get in his hands. Like, they better show us how he got to it at this point, because he hasn't been nowhere near the island. So, anyway... The flashback doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, no, so next week will be
the season finale of Flash and Arrow.
We can talk about our feelings on the episode overall.
Yeah, go ahead.
I really like it. I think this penultimate episode was really good. Helped to really tie up a lot of loose ends, yet keep a few going and all that. I think Anarchy does need to be dealt with. I wonder if they're honestly building up Anarchy to be like a bigger threat up in season 5.
Anarchy should be somebody that always pops in and out here and there, and they don't really put a... Like part of the problem is, like, some of these villains shouldn't be so easily dealt with. And, because I think that's been part of the problem with Arrow. Like, they've dealt with so many of these villains to the point where... Like, they're running out of people to bring in, and then some of the people that are bringing in, they're not interesting. Like this season really could have used a one or two episodes of Deathstroke coming in to fuck shit up. I mean, but I guess we never gonna see Deathstroke again, so. Because of DC film division, and, well, talk about DC Film Division a little later, but
since we're on CW TV, may I bring up one story?
No. Let's hold the stories off until later. What? But we bring that. Hold that to your first story, okay? Hold the stories off, and you can bring that up first.
Okay. All right.
because we got to talk about your favorite television show.
We already talked about The Flash.
No, Gotham. You know that's your favorite show. Come on.
No, we're...
Come on now. Repent. Relent.
Hey, you know, nobody. You know, if you're listening, spoilers, Gotham still sucks.
You know, see, this is how you know he likes Gotham.
I do not.
Now, let me put you in your place, Jordan Cobb. Because I'm starting to realize why people have rejected this character, but they're so wrong. Okay, we got the return of Fish Mooney. Fish Mooney is such a strong character, it's not even funny. And people don't like that because she's such a strong character. Now, this part of the season, you know, been dealing with Hugo Strange bringing people back to life because he's been doing all these crazy experiments. But some of the people that were brought back to life, of course, did not have their own mind. They thought they were someone else or they were mindless. But now someone came back to life that woke up and didn't buy into that shit that they were someone else. It was Fish Mooney because her will is so strong. She's like, no, fuck it. I'm Fish Mooney, damn it. And that's what I've always liked about her. No matter her situation, she finds a way to come out on top or to impose her will in any situation. And Jordan, you're going to come around to Fish Mooney as a character. It's going to happen.
You know, I liked Fish Mooney at first, but then her writing got terrible.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
Did not.
Yes, it did.
But yeah, I thought it was great that was, you know, they brought her back to life and she retained who she was.
Nope.
What do you mean no? That wasn't a good thing. You wanted her to think she was somebody else?
I wanted her to stay dead.
No. You just hate it. Just
I would have loved that. That would have been great.
I think they ought to use her more in the future.
No. Nope.
But anyway, this whole idea that...
You know how much I don't like Fish Mooney? Shit. I'll take more Selena Kyle on this
show. You don't like... You know why I'm not even going to go down there? I had a conversation with somebody at a comic book store, and I'm not even going to bring that up with you. But anyway, here's the deal. Jim Gordon and little Brucey Wayne, and everybody's trying to prove that Hugo Strange is responsible for Thomas and Martha Wayne's death, and they just bungled their way into being captured by Hugo Strange, which in a way is kind of bad because like you're revealing that Hugo Strange is already such a bad guy that how's he going to be around when Batman stops him 10 years from now? I mean, like how's he going to be still running Arkham? If everybody knows this guy is crazy and evil, like how do you forget that? What's he gonna do?
Wipe everybody's mind? I think that's the problem of the show, not really thinking that out.
Yeah, well, the problem is, like I said, they keep trying to shoehorn in Batman villains without Batman, and they should have just went to DC and said we want to do a Batman TV show.
In this timeline, by the time Batman comes to fruition, half his rogues guy are gonna have AARP cards.
Yes.
That's a problem. Now, problem with the show, one, Firefly didn't kill this version of Selena Kyle. Shit.
She didn't kill Selena Kyle.
That's what I said.
Did you really think she was gonna kill Selena Kyle? Come on now.
I had hoped against hope in my mind.
Come on now. Come on, Jordan. Be realistic.
No, with this show,
but you know, you got Firefly, you got Mr. Freeze. All these guys aren't capable of stopping them, and yet they keep bringing in villains that shouldn't be able to be stopped by ordinary police officers, because that's why they call supervillains.
All right, good things of this episode: Donald Logue and Ben McKenzie, Sean Pertwee, and. Hey, the Clayface effects are pretty cool.
Yeah, I like Clayface.
The Clayface effects were cool. Otherwise, this show is going to absolutely bungle.
Didn't we see Killer Croc for a second?
I think so. I'm not too sure. But one thing I know this show will absolutely do is bungle adapting to Court of Owls.
Yeah, that was...
Apparently, because that's who Doctor Strange...
Hugo Strange.
Hugo Strange, yeah, sorry. Hugo Strange is reporting to.
Well, they made it seem like Theo Gallivan was part of the Quarter Owls, but then they did the whole Dumas thing instead.
Order of Saint Dumas.
Yeah.
No, it's no. Hugo Strange.
I gotta give Penguin some props for.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Robin Lord Taylor. Well, the most consistently great thing. The one thing. In and out. One thing I will say I love about any episode of Gotham is Robin Lord Taylor as the Penguin.
Yeah. The Riddler, he's starting to come around, but every so often they take two steps forward and then a step and a half back with him. So he's not quite there yet as far as a good villain. But I think he could get there, but maybe they didn't need to make him bad, like, full on this early on. But we'll see. Anyway, now, we started off this segment with how some shows had a weak season finale.
Yeah.
And there's some shows, when they do a season finale, man, do they do a fucking season finale.
Can I take a guess?
You know what I'm talking about.
It's Grimm.
You got it. You got it. Come, Jordan Cobb.
You know
Stop
what,
resisting.
Surfer? Hold on, Surfer.
The grimness.
You know what? I have a proposition for you, Surfer. I'll start watching Grimm if I don't have to keep reviewing Gotham.
No.
See, then I ain't watching Grimm.
Why? What does one have to do with the other? Okay.
I don't know. I took a shot and thought, well, this could be an out for me to not watch this piece of shit anymore.
Gotham is part of your contract, but
there, I don't have a contract.
But Grimm kicks so much ass; it's not even funny. My ass is kicked.
I just watching this
one guy go on a killing spree like he did this last episode.
I can watch Deathwish.
No. This is a super Grimm. He goes around killing like there's no tomorrow. Okay, just when it looked like the bad guys had closed in, and you know the Scooby Gang, they call them Scooby Gang. Now all the people that work with him were nowhere else to turn. He turned around and started to take people out left and right single handedly. And it was a sight to behold. I wish I had somebody I could talk Grimm with, because you are such a punk when it comes to this TV. You're afraid. You're scared to watch it.
Okay, I will once again state
you watched the beginning and go, oh no, it's not what I want. And then
I didn't have any expectations. Okay, I will once again state for the goddamn record. I watched the first few episodes of Grimm. I thought, it's okay. It's not really doing anything for me too much, but it's harmless, whatever. And I moved on.
I keep telling you, man, these storylines they've been doing, that's just been like, you know, when you get into the season storyline, you know, so you got the Grimm, right? He's from a long line ago. He's a super Grimm because he's been zombified. He's lost his powers and got him back. His mother was a super Grimm. His aunt was a super Grimm. Now he has this little piece of wood, right? Now we don't know where the wood comes from. Like
as a tree.
No. Okay. The reason why he's a Grimm is because his ancestor was one of the Crusader Knights. And they have the ability to see these mythological creatures they call Vressen. And so his ancestors found this artifact and hid it in the Black Forest. And one of the storylines were what this item was, because they all had these keys that would lead you to where this hidden thing was. And so they finally got together most of the keys, and he went to go find out what this hidden item was that was so secretive that people would put their lives on the line to keep it safe. And they found the little chest, they brought it back, and they opened it. It was a little piece of stick, a little piece of wood. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And they're thinking, what is up with this piece of wood? But then, like, his friend, who's like a blue bot, and they did, like, the big bad wolf, he got bit, so he's dying from blood poisoning. And they went to go take him to the hospital, and he's holding the stick, and the stick healed him. The stick has healed. Like they think maybe it's a piece of wood from the crucifix of Christ, but they haven't quite said where it's from. But the stick can bring people back to, almost bring them back to life, basically. And so this is something they really got to keep out of the wrong hands, because there's so many evil forces out there that if they got a hold of this particular item, I mean, they could take over the world. You got something that could resurrect and keep you alive. I mean, it's really, you know what? This is your assignment. You got to start from the beginning of Grimm. You know, go get the TNT app, and I want you to start watching. You're going to listen to me, Jordan Cobb.
No.
Stop ignoring me.
See, I'm watching Gotham. That proves I don't really need to listen to you too much.
You're no friend of mine.
Again, Surfer, I'm, look, again, I put the proposition.
You see, you never got over the fact that while Grimm is going into his sixth season, that show about eating people got canceled. And you never got over that.
Really? Okay, so you're attributing this to the fact that I'm upset that NBC canceled Hannibal.
Yep.
Okay, one.
Sore loser.
Okay, one, I was upset, but two, I'm no longer upset since Hannibal actually had a very satisfying conclusion and wonderful, fantastic ending to its
sick
story.
Old people.
Secondly, again, I put the proposition to you. I will watch. I will go back and watch every episode of Grimm as long as I no longer have to review Gotham.
No, you gotta watch Gotham. One shouldn't have to do with the
other. Then I'm not watching Grimm. That's simple as that.
I got some box office news I forgot to tell you. X-Men Apocalypse launched to $103 million overseas. Not bad, not great.
And we'll be reviewing that on air next weekend, right?
We're going to try to. You going to see it next week?
Well, yeah, of course I am.
Okay. For some reason...
Now, that's a review assignment I'm not going to try.
For some reason, they're not screening it here early, so... I have to wait till Thursday.
Oh, you are on my level.
No, I get to see it Thursday night. You got to wait. Did I miss a call?
No, not aware of.
Hold up. You don't...
So are we moving on to news?
So Stanley sending me some message.
So, hi, you're on my... Oh, wait, you're seeing it for... I'm possibly seeing it on Friday.
Okay.
Friday afternoon, most likely. But
okay.
All right. So news time. We got news.
All right. Make it quick.
And the story I wanted to bring up with Supergirl coming to the CW, it was of course announced during TV Network Upfront presentations this week in New York City. There will be a mega crossover. The crossover this year on CW in December will be of, in one single week, Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. And by the way, Supergirl will remain in its Monday time slot of the same time, of 8 Eastern, 7 Central.
So basically, CW is going to be the superhero network, because you got Supergirl on Monday, Flash on Tuesdays, Arrow on Wednesday, Legend of Tomorrow's on Thursday. And then, of course, for the mid-season shows...
On Thursday.
Mid-season shows will be iZombie returning and...
Mid-season.
Right, and Riverdale coming on mid-season, so...
Yeah,
I don't know if they're
going to
take the place of some of these
others. The addition of Supergirl has moved... one of my absolute new favorites, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, to Fridays.
And one of the things they're going to do now is a four-way crossover between all four shows at some point in the season.
In December.
Yes. So that'll be, I guess, leading into the break where Supergirl will fly up and and meet the Arrow and meet the Legend crew and how they're gonna explain her in this universe. I don't know. Maybe something will happen on the Flash that's going to merge universes. We'll find out because they have to. Cause they've already established that there's a separate universe between Flash and Arrow and Supergirl.
Indeed. So you gotta play around with that. But sticking with DC news, rejoice everybody, for John Byrd and Geoff Johns are now co-running DC films.
Not
Zack Snyder.
Not Zack Snyder.
No fucking way. Although he is still directing Justice League, he doesn't have the same. He doesn't have like the same kind of clout as he did before. So yeah, that's.
But we don't know if these two guys being put in charge is going to make a difference or not at this point.
Oh,
I mean, because Geoff Johns supposed to have been involved the whole time, and yet we still got the Batman v Superman movie. Like he never stepped in.
Although we don't know the extent of the creative control that he had.
But he never stepped in and said, "Look, yeah, this is not, we can't just shoehorn this in, and this is not going to work, and this not going to like where was he speak? Why wasn't he speaking up for this last movie?"
Fair enough. And to be fair, we don't know the extent of the control or say he had. But again, he's proven successful at DC TV where he really understands the character. So now hopefully he can translate that into the movies. Now, we already know Geoff Johns, but I'm pretty sure some of you are wondering who the fuck is John Byrd. And John Byrd is an executive VP over at Warner Brothers.
He basically works with Ben Affleck. And,
yeah, more or less.
And they think it's a move to keep Ben Affleck happy. Because, of course, he's doing the Batman movie, and he is playing Batman, so if Ben's happy, I guess everybody else will be happy, so.
Hooray!
Why didn't they just put Kevin Smith in charge? No, I'm just kidding.
For what?
Kevin Smith.
Do we really want that?
At this point, he knows the characters. Who knows? Anyway. You like Black Panther, right? You want to travel to Wakanda one day, right?
I do love Black Panther.
You want to be the first white person to go to Wakanda, right?
Sadly, I won't be the first white person in Wakanda, but yeah, I love Black Panther. He's a great character, and I would love to go to Wakanda, check out their tech and all that. That'd be cool.
Well,
why do you ask?
Because everybody loves Black Panther so much that his Black Panther number one was the highest selling book. Sold a quarter of a million copies. I don't know if that includes the reprints or not, because I know they did reprint the number one. And even the second issue sold out, and they got to reprint that. It's like the demand for Black Panther has been way more than people thought it was going to be.
And that is a damn good thing to hear because, yeah, Black Panther is an absolutely fantastic character and has some of the best goddamn comics out there.
And I guess with his appearance in Captain America, his popularity just shot up even more now. So.
Oh, definitely. That's a good factor. I mean, and by the way, these first two issues of the new Black Panther run are really good. I absolutely highly recommend them. In addition to what I truly believe is the best Black Panther run by Christopher Priest.
What else? Oh, trailer real quick. New Star Trek came out this week.
Yeah, finally a new Star Trek trailer.
They call it the International Trailer. Now, I've watched the other releases of the Star Trek trailers, and I was like, yeah, I've not seen anything that grabs me. And I started to realize that the problem was listening to the music in the background with the whole Beastie Boys was just throwing me off for the whole, throwing me off in the trailer. But now when I watch this new trailer without this Beastie Boy music, I see more in it that gets me a bit more excited to wanting to see it.
I agree. Even Simon Pegg, a.k.a. Scotty, and who co-wrote this upcoming Star Trek Beyond, even agrees, like, that was kind of a shit trailer.
Even though, how many times you got to see the Enterprise get destroyed now? This is the third movie, and the third time the Enterprise is being basically destroyed.
Think about in the Star Trek film series as a whole. Just like the seventh goddamn time?
Yeah, I mean, that's just too much destroying of the Enterprise. It's like, if I wouldn't even go out on that ship at this point, like, especially if I'm wearing a red shirt. Like, if they'd, like, assign me to the Enterprise and give me a red shirt, I'm quitting Starfleet. I'm not traveling in space. Cause it's not safe for me.
Yeah, I mean, it must be a blessing and a curse if you're in Starfleet, saying, like, you've been assigned, yes, to the Enterprise. Yeah,
Now, this new Star Trek film will debut at San Diego Comic Con. So, you're attending Comic Con, you'll have the first opportunity to see this film. They're going to show it on an outdoor screening, which I think is cool, because that's what Comic Con should be about.
Showing us the movies. I agree, and we should...
Not cramming in a Hall H for a trailer, but actually seeing a movie.
I agree. I fully agree, and I would love to be there if someone would kindly give me $500 to go out to San Diego. Speaking of Star Trek, by the way, we brought up a long time ago, there was a few shows ago, there was a controversial lawsuit around a crowdfunded Star Trek fan film. And there was a lawsuit Paramount filed. Paramount has dropped the lawsuit. It was announced during the Star Trek fan event by J.J. Abrams that the litigation is going away.
The new director, Justin Lin, was instrumental in getting Paramount to drop that, because he's a fan of the franchise. And, you know, yeah, it's one of these things where, you know, people ain't trying to make money. They just fans. They want to, you know.
They're inspired by this piece of work, and they want to show their appreciation for creativity by contributing. They wanted to add, and Lynn had a hand in that. And Abrams said, he said, the fans should be celebrating this. Fans of Star Trek are a part of this world. And so he pushed them, and so Abrams also, both Abrams and Lynn helped to convince Paramount, this is silly, drop it. Look at the appreciation they have to do this. I honestly would want to make like a Zatanna fan film to show my appreciation and love of what DC's done to give me this character. It's a celebration, and also a part of creativity, and also maybe show off to some studios, hey, I got some skills, how about you hire me, and all that. So that's all it was. And I'm glad I'm glad Paramount realized that.
Yeah, these companies, man, they need to stop stepping on a little guy and let us live, let us breathe.
But I agree.
Cool. One more thing about Star Trek: the new television logo was teased. Did you see it yet on YouTube?
Yeah,
because you know the television series is coming out next season. Star Trek finally back on the small screen. After a couple of decades of going away, won't tie into the current TV movie series, but it'll be Star Trek, so.
Which I'm interested in. I mean, I love Star Trek on TV. Very happy to hear about it. Mm-hmm. Now, there was another trailer to come out this week, one for the NBC show Powerless, which is a sitcom set within the DC Universe about the workers of an insurance claims company that deal with that help humans deal with the after effects of supervillain and superhero and villain fights and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he solves it. Not a good trailer to me. I'm kind of, it just didn't grab me.
What didn't grab you? Sorry, I'm sorry. What are you talking about again?
Powerless.
The Powerless. Oh, the Powerless. I didn't see the trailer. Where's it? What's the trailer at?
It's online. It's on YouTube.
Right. I looked for it. Like, didn't see it. And I saw the story that, like, you know, it's picked up. And but just give me a link real quick.
Okay. Hold. Well, yeah. All the trailers for all. Well, a majority of the trailers. Some still aren't out. For the upcoming fall shows. Hold on.
Did you get your free copy of Preacher yet? Some of the bookstores had free copies of Preacher. Since the pilot's coming on tonight on AMC, reprint of the first Preacher, so. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because from what I hear, the television show is nothing like the book. But maybe it still could be a good TV show. We'll find out.
We will. And also, after, there is a Preacher after show, much like The Talking Dead.
Not this week, but I guess in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, which I don't give a shit about.
How do you know? I mean, that's the new thing now.
I don't really give a shit about this.
You know what I watch? AfterBuzz on online. AfterBuzz.
Okay,
TV.
The Powerless trailer is apparently being taken down across a lot of places.
I guess
it wasn't. It was leaked. Apparently, it wasn't. Ready to show.
Oh, bummer.
But anyway, I did manage to see it. Not too good a trailer, if I'm being honest. What really didn't quite grab me. I think the humor really wasn't that good.
Well, we'll see. I gotta see for myself. Transformer 5 gets an official title. Transformer The Last Night. Now, I was just watching another website, and they had a theory, and I don't know if this is true. They were looking at the way the logo is and the title, and so they kind of think, now they already announced that Hasbro wants to do a shared universe, and you know, they have Transformers, they have Mask, they have the Micronauts. But they also have Rom the Space Knight. And they think that Rom may show up in this next Transformer movie. What do you think about that?
I don't care, because I hate the Transformer film series.
And you don't care about... You're not really a Rom the Space Knight fan, right?
I've never... Again, I haven't really read Rom.
You didn't get the free comic book?
I did get the free comic book. I just haven't had time to get to it since... Okay. As noted on the air, after Free Comic Book Day, family moved into my house, and I got super fucking busy.
Excuse me, family. Okay. Anyway.
Hey, so, Surfer, now that they've moved out, I can read the damn thing.
You think that'd be a good idea for them to try to shoehorn Ramen somehow to the next Transformer movie to introduce him?
Again, so I don't know, nor particularly care, because it's the Michael Bay Transformer film.
It's gonna make money no matter what we say or do.
Yeah, I ain't seeing it.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, okay. You say that now, but.
Surfer, if you make me see Transformers 5...
No, you're going to end up seeing it.
I don't?
That's the problem. People go out and see Transformers no matter what.
See, you told me, hey, we want to do a spoiler talk, get our ratings up, you know, get people more interested. I thought, yeah, sure, but Surfer...
Don't worry about it right now. I mean, like that we're way off from the next Transformer movie, so.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'll give you a compromise. I'll keep reviewing Gotham as long as I don't have to see Transformers 5.
Come on now. You keep trying to come up with these ultimatums. That doesn't work with me.
Yeah, you know what doesn't work for me? Seeing another goddamn Michael Bay Formers movie.
And then, are you excited for the Ninja Turtle movie coming up?
Because,
you know, they clipped to a cop now. They showed the clip where Bebop and Rocksteady's transformed.
Which was edited.
It's nothing. The more I see this Ninja Turtle trailer, the less I give a fuck about it. It's like everything about it just says Michael Bay just slapped his dick all over it and said,
"Yeah,
hey,
why would you willingly want to go see that again?"
I do my job, but unlike you, I'm professional. I don't pay for it anyway. So.
I'm sorry that when I know something is bad, I avoid it.
Well, I got something good for you.
Okay, but again, you know that these Michael Bay Transformer movies are not good, so just stop it.
I got something good for you. Thor Ragnarok cast. Getting Jeff Goldblum, Carl Urban, Tessa Thompson, and
Kate Blanchett. Yes, they've been confirmed. Now, we already knew Blanchett and Tessa Thompson.
What the heck? Throwing pop-ups. What was that? No, stop it! Son of a... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Tessa Thompson is confirmed to be... What is with that music?
I have no idea. It just... You know what? Stop! That's not me.
It's not me.
No, I mean, listen, I opened up a browser and it kept opening. And then when I closed the browser, the music kept going.
All right, anyway. Tessa Thompson is confirmed to be playing Valkyrie. Kate Blanchett still very much playing Hera. But here's who Carl Urban and Jeff Goldblum will be playing. Carl Urban will be playing Scourge.
That was the Rant EM player. Go ahead.
Carl Urban will be playing Scourge, while Jeff Goldblum will be playing Grandmaster.
All right, so the Grandmaster is the Elder of the Universe. We met one in the Collector in their last Thor movie, and then he also made an appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, dealing with the Elders of the Universe makes sense since you are dealing with the Infinity Gems. And no one says Infinity Gem more than the Grandmaster. And one of the things about Thor Ragnarok is that both Thor and Hulk are going to be in a situation where they're going to be in an arena-like atmosphere like our planet Hulk, trying to fight their way out, and maybe the Grandmaster's the one behind making them fight in these gladiator-style matches. So, I can see that. Now, Skurn, the Executioner, he's always been a compelling character. But usually when you get the Executioner, you also get the Enchantress. Now, Kate Blanchett, to me, doesn't say Enchantress. She says Hela. So, is the Enchantress also going to be a part of this movie?
Unconfirmed right now.
Right.
But yeah, so he's playing Hela with concept art of Hela's figure in Asgard have been released along with this news.
She is the Norse deity of death, basically. She runs Hell and a couple other of the nine realms, and you know, when you die, you either end up in Valhalla, you end up in her embrace, and her embrace is not the place you want to be if you die. So you want to make sure you die honorably so you can go to Valhalla and die some more fighting for Odin. Because one day it's going to be a big war between those two, and you know, it's going to get nasty. Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie, she's a good actress, but she's kind of short. So
I don't mind that. Tessa Thompson is an amazing actress. She's a fantastic talent, and I think she'd actually be pretty damn good as Valkyrie.
Maybe they'll make her look a lot bigger than she actually is. But where's Balder? We still have not seen Balder. Like, he's gotten the short end of the stick all this time.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing Ragnarok, how can you do Ragnarok without Balder? He's the whole catalyst behind Ragnarok. You know the story behind Ragnarok, right, Jordan?
Yes, I'm aware.
What's the story? Hurry up.
Pretty much the apocalypse.
No, I mean, like, what causes Asgard. Ragnarok? Like, what triggers it?
Ragnarok is triggered by... All right, I'm blanking on it right now.
Okay. Odin had everyone kind of promise not to hurt Balder. And everybody agreed except Mistletoe. So Balder's one of these consistently impervious, you know, he do these things where, like, yeah, shoot an arrow at me, I'll knock it down. And this blind guy is tricked by Loki into shooting an arrow with a mistletoe, and Balder is killed, and that triggers Ragnarok. So Balder's death will always triggers Ragnarok, which is, of course, the twilight of the gods. Now, I got some bad news for you, Jordan. Two bad news. You want the bad news or the bad news?
Just give me the fucking bad. Just say it.
All right, the bad news is this is going to be your last chance to see Stan Lee in New York Comic Con. This is going to be his last appearance at New York Comic Con. So do what you got to do to get to New York. But this is the other bad news.
Start paying me and that'll happen.
No, yeah, pay yourself.
I can't.
Here's the other bad news. If you went to attend Comic-Con this year, you have to register first before you can buy a ticket. You have to go on this site and register, do a fan registration first before you can buy a ticket. If you do not register, you cannot buy a ticket. You also cannot buy a ticket for someone else. So you can only buy a ticket for yourself. So you have to register each person that you're getting a ticket for. Because this is to prevent scalping. What do you think about that?
Well, hey, first off, sad I might not ever see Stan Lee at a con, so that sucks. But scalping's a bit of an issue. So if this is their plan, then yeah, sure. I really have no strong feeling.
And I don't think you can buy tickets at the stores anymore.
It's like, again, I haven't been able to go to any con ever. So right now, I imagine the extra step of registering as a fan is a bit of a hassle. I imagine that might be, but I can't speak to that since even right now, even though I can apply for a press badge, I haven't been able to apply because I can't afford shit right now.
Boo hoo hoo.
Well, fuck you, too.
Fuck you, too. You run out of news stories, aren't you?
Hey, it was a short news week, man. Blame the industry.
Kansas City did proclaim Saturday is Stan Lee Day, and we missed it. So, Excelsior.
Proclaimed what?
Yesterday was Stan Lee Day in Kansas City.
Really?
Yes.
And how did they celebrate Stan Lee Day?
Before he was brought to the stage, however, Kansas City Mayor Sylvester Sly James welcomed honored speakers in front of 3,000 fans. In his opening remarks, Mayor James read the proclamation Saturday, May 1st, officially known as Stanley Day, where Kansas citizens have a profound appreciation for the arts. The mayor began his speech and known that Mr. Lee's creations and contributions will live forever as inspirations and reminded of all of a dream ever upward. Now forevermore, I, Sylvester James, mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, on behalf of the citizens of the great City Council, do hereby proclaim May 21st as Stanley Day in Kansas City, Missouri. Afterwards, Lee congratulated the city on having such a great mayor and took the time to answer fans' questions. So, okay. We got that out of the way before he, you know, Stanley's 93 and, you know, had many more years left. I guess he needs to keep, you know. And, yes, New York is going to be the last time you get to see him in New York, so. Shame, but costs a couple hundred dollars to see him anyway when you go to New York, so. Speaking of, conventions, you know, PhillyCon's in a couple weeks, and, I need, $1,100 so I can go to the Chris Helmworth, Chris Evans panel, and get the VIP ticket. You think that's worth it?
Maybe. Well, and also, good luck getting that money.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not to put anything down, but to me, these celebrities, their money, what they ask for the money for autographs is just too much. I mean, and even if I got the autograph, it's not. See. The problem is, people used to get autographs for free, but then they would turn around and sell them for all this money, so everybody's like, well, why can't we make money off it, too? So now it costs your arm and leg to get the autograph. You can't turn around and sell it now because it's not worth it. Right? Wrong? I don't know. Harley Quinn movies in the works for Warner Brothers. You think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
What?
A Harley Quinn movie.
I really can't say shit. I mean, if it's based off just the right amount of character, yeah, sure. But I really can't say yay or nay since I haven't seen Margot Robbie's full performance as Harley Quinn yet. So I have to wait until after seeing Suicide Squad to sign off on this.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's not just a Harley Quinn solo movie, but it'll feature several of DC's female heroes and villains. And names that were thrown around were, of course, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, as well as Poison Ivy and Bumblebee.
What do they just do to DC superhero girls?
What?
Do the DC superhero girls.
Like a live action version of that?
Yeah, I'm just kidding, yeah. So,
it's not a high school thing.
No, get to the story about Captain Marvel.
Well, either way, again, I can't really sign off on this Harley Quinn DC female idea, like Harley Quinn solo, until I see Margot Robbie fully in Suicide Squad. So, come back in August to hear my thoughts on that and whether or not this is a good idea, but. Sorry. Now, a new candidate to direct Marvel's upcoming Captain Marvel film is Elizabeth Wood, director of White Girl, who has met with Marvel about potential directing opportunities. White Girl, her major credit, has generated a lot of attention down at the Sundance Film Festival recently this year and was nominated for a grand jury prize over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really never heard of that, her or her movie, so this is completely lost on me. But Feig is sticking by the fact that this summer we will most likely be here, the star and director of Captain Marvel being announced. So...
Now, What's your excitement for Rebirth, as far as DC? Are you looking forward to it, or you don't give a damn?
You know I'm gonna read it. I mean, I am.
What do you think about some of the reveals about Wally West coming back?
Wait, Wally West is back? I didn't read that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. Both Wally's gonna be there, or?
Okay, well, just to answer your question, I would say my excitement is about a 7. I mean, I'm certainly interested. A good portion of the creative teams surrounding the books are interesting, and I could only hope DC can't fuck up much more than the New 52. So, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm interested, but I'm not too excited since it could still kind of fall flat on its fucking face.
Hold on, let me find this Rebirth story real quick.
What is this Rebirth story
about? What was announced in Rebirth that Grimstar says all bets are off of season. Hell, you got that right, damn it. Because it kicked all kinds of ass, and Jordan just won't come over to the Grim side.
Hey, Surfer, do I get on to you about shows you don't watch that I watch?
Like
no,
what?
Shut up.
Like what? Like what? Like what?
Fargo.
Well, I'm not against watching Fargo. All right, so here's some of the reveals as far as DC. Of course, it says Wally West is back. Kay Korn is back as the Blue Beetle.
Okay.
Jackson Hyde is back as Aqualad.
That's cool. Okay.
Are you sitting down on this one?
What?
Are you sitting down for this next one?
Just fucking say it.
Are you sitting down?
Yes, I'm sitting. I've been sitting down this entire.
I just want to make sure. Okay.
Remember when? Do you think I do this show standing up? Really?
I don't know what you do.
I've been sitting down for the entire duration of the show.
Okay. All right. So. The reason why, when Batman asked the all-knowing chair about the Joker's name, why he was shocked is because there are 3 Jokers.
Okay, what?
There are 3 Jokers. See, he's in shock.
No, I'm not in shock. Just no. Shut up. You don't know my emotions. It's more confusion. What?
Guess what? The whole 52, 10 years of missing time.
The new 52. What?
It's 10 years of missing time.
This doesn't even add up to the new 52 time. That's stupid.
Well, you got to remember when they started the new 52, it wasn't from the beginning. It was like it was 5 years in. You forgot that, didn't you?
Well, I kind of forgot since DC made it all confusing as shit.
Dr. Manhattan's gonna be part of the universe.
What?
Dr. Manhattan. And he may have been responsible for the new 52.
So they're bringing in Watchmen to the main DC universe.
You got it. Alan Moore's spinning in his grave.
That is stupid. No. That makes no fucking sense.
Why not?
No. This is... What? No. That makes no goddamn sense.
Why not?
At all.
Why not? Okay, why can't he come into the regular DC universe?
Watchmen does Jesus, no, Watchmen doesn't need to be part of the main DC universe. Watchmen was its own whole fucking universe, its own examination.
It's all part of one universe.
Yeah, I don't need... Look, I don't need Rorschach existing in the same world as goddamn Batman.
Why not? They could team up. That'd be cool as shit.
No, because Batman is not going to deal with how Rorschach does things.
You can tell that motherfucker.
They're not going to get along. No,
Batman and Rorschach can team up, but you can tell Rorschach to take a shower.
No, this is stupid. What the shit, DC? This is... Wow. Rebirth's kind of fucked already. This is
you
dumb.
You don't know that. No one said that all the Watchmen was coming over. They just said Dr. Manhattan. Is he not powerful enough?
Oh, wait. Stanley Kubrick messaged me. Sit down, shut up, and stop the hissing. Fuck you, Stanley. You don't tell me what to goddamn do. Fuck off. No. Watchmen doesn't need to be in the DC main universe. Watchmen was created by Alan Moore because of DC's acquisition of the Charleston characters, but Moore couldn't quite use them, so he took analogs of them and he did it as an examination of superheroes, of the genre, of how they operate and whatnot. It wasn't meant as a straightforward superhero story. It was a superhero story that was deconstructing superheroes, and that doesn't quite gel with the goddamn DC universe as a whole. And this is stupid. No, Watchmen is not needing to be part of the DC universe. What the hell? I'm sorry, but that's just how I goddamn feel.
So who are you, not a Watchmen preacher now?
No, okay, don't compare me to that fat, dumb piece of shit.
Hey, don't call him that. He might be listening.
I don't care. I don't like the Watchmen preacher. He's a fucking asshole. I don't give a shit. Hey, Watchmen preacher, if you're listening.
All right, we need to explain to the listeners about the Watchmen preacher. The Watchmen preacher, that's not what his real name is, but there was a guy on YouTube when Watchmen was first announced. He made a video on YouTube saying that he thought it was going to be a bad idea, that the Watchmen was being made into a movie and that Zack Snyder was behind it. And he made this video. He said it was a sad day it was happening. And so he got dubbed the Watchmen preacher. And so often if you come across this guy, he rails against Hollywood. And he rails against a lot of movies he's never seen, yet he...
Yeah, that's Kaz's problem.
And he'll rail against anybody who has a different opinion against him because he thinks his opinion is the only right one, so...
So, yeah, again, if Watchmen Preacher is somehow listening, he's an asshole. Please deactivate your YouTube channel.
We don't go that far.
I can't stand a Watchmen preacher.
Jordan's opinion is his opinion, not that of the What Are You Reading
Comics. Yes, my opinion does not reflect the opinion of this show overall, Rant EM Radio Network. All right, there. Again, this is... Wow. This is the dumb...
We lost Jordan.
Watchmen doesn't need to be in the main DC universe.
It's not just... It doesn't the Watchmen. It's Dr. Manhattan. Just the one. The all-powerful Manhattan. He can't jump universes. Embrace. See, I knew you wasn't going to take this. I knew you was going to take this news kind of hard. I knew it. So, yes, and now.
Sorry. I kind of think it's a stupid, dumb, goddamn decision.
Now, the talk...
Hey, I'm happy Wally West is back. Yay. Wally. Awesome.
Now, this talk, of course, that Michael Keaton is back into negotiating being in Spider-Man Homecoming. First he was, then he wasn't. Now he's going to be back in it.
Yeah, he's playing the Vulture.
I think that would be the best character for him to play. Because he damn sure wouldn't work as the Scorpion. And they've already fucked up the Rhino. And what's the, what is, let's see, there's Mysterio, there's the Chameleon. You think he could play any of those characters?
Who, Keaton?
Yes.
I think Vulture's best for him, really. He could play, I mean, he's kind of older anyway, and he can really play, and he's a very capable actor. He's an amazing actor where he can honestly really work it and be a compelling villain. Really, I can see him working mostly as Vulture. Everyone else, not so much.
We already did Doc Ock, so we don't need to do him again.
No, we can recast. No, we can do Doc Ock again. We can just get a different actor.
No, I mean, we need to do some more. Well, let's not just get caught up in the same Spider-Man one. Let's see somebody new. That's all I'm saying. You know, what is the, what's the name of the, what about the Shocker? No?
No, I can't see Keaton as the Shocker. No. That doesn't work.
I'm just asking.
Michael Keaton really, to me, only works as the Vulture, and he's playing the Vulture, and that's great. Shocker, no. Chameleon, maybe. Scorpion, no. Keaton as a Shocker really makes no sense. You need a bit of a younger, quite not as old actor as Keaton to do someone like Shocker.
Sorry, maybe he can play Beetlejuice and take on Spider-Man.
Yeah, Beetlejuice. I think he can still do that.
We're talking about doing a Beetlejuice 2, right? Do we really need a Beetlejuice follow-up? No? Maybe? Yes? Jordan? Uh-oh. Jordan's Skype is
messing up. Yeah, I'm right here.
I know your Skype went out again.
I'm right here. What were you asking?
Do we need a follow-up to Beetlejuice?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't really need it.
I don't think so. Alright, so, we don't want you to go anywhere because in a few minutes we will be having a pay-per-view coverage for the WWE Extreme Rules. Gang from Rent Yam Radio will be hosting. Oh, what is wrong with my arm? It's nasty. And we have other fine shows here at Rent Yam Radio. Starting with the post show at 11 p.m. after the WWE pay-per-view. And of course, we're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. Starting tomorrow at 11:30, right after Raw, will be Talk Brunch. Tuesday's the doubleheader of The Rant at 8 p.m., followed by Freaks and Effing Geeks at 11. Every other Wednesday is the new show, Thumbstick Ninjas, 8 p.m. Thursday nights, Rant and Wrestling at 9. Live every Friday is Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. Every Saturday night, the Wrestling Call-In Show live at 11 p.m. And, my arm looks nasty. I need to find the ointment to put on my arm because, I have a big gash in my arm. Did I tell you about that? Do you want to hear about my arm, Jordan? You don't care, do you?
What? Yeah, you cut in and out.
I said you want to hear about the gash in my arm. Almost lost my arm.
What?
Almost lost my arm. I got a big gash in it.
Oh, really? What? Shit, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, don't joke about that. Oh, fuck you.
Just jokes. Dumb, just jokes. We do have a few minutes to kill. If anybody want to call in real quick, take you on Skype at SuperSurfer_forever. Because we ran out of news stories, and we'll end the show 5 minutes early to give other people a chance to take over the feed so they can.
Okay,
so
same with the sexual harassment.
What you say?
Nothing.
Hey, what's going on in the chat room? The chat.
Chat.
No, that's not a chat. That chat. Greg, he's in the chat room. What do I do, Surfer? I'm a superhero. I keep the universe safe. That's what I do. And I corrupt people into reading comic books. That's what I do for a living. Read comic books, corrupt people, and keep the universe safe as a superhero. I'm catching up on Daredevil finally.
God damn it!
I know.
Where are you?
Well, I just saw the whole episode with the Punisher in prison with the Kingpin, and the Kingpin, he was missed him. That motherfucker, he know how to talk to a guy. He know how to talk people into doing what he want. And
Vincent D'Onofrio is still amazing in that role.
It's a situation where they're in the same room, and the Punisher, his first instinct is to kill everybody, but he's standing in the room with the Kingpin, and he's not going in for the kill. He's listening to what the Kingpin has to say. And that tells you the power of the Kingpin. That he convinced this person who's dead set on taking out every criminal. And he knows that the Kingpin is a criminal and would love to put a bullet in that fat dome of his. But yet, is listening to what the man has to say. So, I thought it was a good job on that one. Yeah, I'm going to try to watch the rest of them over the next couple of days so I can be caught up. Things get heated up in an unusual Batman v Superman poster. Yeah, putting out new posters, that's not going to help this movie. It's like it's marketing after the fact. It's too, like, did I miss a call? Oh, say no. Hey, it's like don't try to market.
I'm aware of.
No, I saw a Skype light up. Don't try to market a movie after the fact. It's too late. You know, people have made the decision on this film, and like, I said, maybe the DVD release is a better cut, and I'll watch it and give it a fair shot. But it's a no go on trying to convince people that this movie is quality. That ship has sailed. The rats have jumped ship. The iceberg has won. You know, iceberg won, ship zero. Isn't that right, Jordan?
Yeah, sure.
Dang, man, you still haven't gotten over the news I told you about Dr. Manhattan, have you?
That is so stupid. God damn it. Dr. Manhattan created the DC Universe. Really?
No, he created the New 52.
God, that is so
He created only
stupid.
The New 52. See, you can blame that on him. He didn't create all the DC Universe, just the New 52.
I can blame a lot of things on the New 52.
Okay.
Right, wow, okay. But does it change the fact that Dr. Manhattan and Watchmen are overall are now DC canon? And wow, Alan Moore somewhere just developed a major ulcer and started bleeding from his mouth.
Alan Moore, you know, he got paid. He needs to stop whining about his work. He really does. It's not like
they're his works.
He got paid for it.
And yes, Watchmen is still property at DC. I understand, but
look, Alan Moore was paid a nice penny for.
It wouldn't operate that well in the DC universe.
You know, I could say that if it wasn't for the DC brand, that Alan Moore's work wouldn't have got over. How about that?
Maybe. Who knows? Or maybe Alan Moore's that respected an artist and beloved of a writer.
Maybe it's just everybody just needs to just chill and do what they got to do. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry, but that's my reaction. This news is pretty stupid.
Stanley wants to call in. Stanley, please behave yourself. I'm going to regret adding him in. Watch.
Yeah, you are. You always should.
I'm going to be absolutely cleaner than Snow White. I just want to say that Dr. Manhattan is a mistake. I mean, is he going to be like the architect, the creator? Is it going to be post Watchmen, where the city's blown up and been destroyed? Or what on earth is DC doing?
I guess it'll be post Watchmen.
Oh my word! It just doesn't sound right, does it? The Alan Moore universe is its own little microcosm, and it shouldn't. It should not be the basis for what I believe. It is a DC reboot, or is it?
Yeah, basically, it's a DC reboot with this.
It's a mistake. It's essentially a mistake. I think they ran out of ideas. They got into a meeting and they said, "Right, how are we going?"
I'm sorry. This is DC Comics, who, as I mentioned before, has retcons that can be purchased in their goddamn gift shop. DC has always been very retcon happy.
Well, you know, DC stands for discontinuity, so.
But with the old New 52 from about 4 years, 5 years ago, they did well with Wonder Woman, for example, and the Batman. The Batman reboot was great with the
Batman wasn't really rebooted under the New 52. Batman stayed the same.
The Court of the Owls and that stuff.
The storyline. The only change in the Batman was that a lot of the Robins weren't ever Robin. They were just they were the sidekick they've always been.
But there were some flops, some that got canned. What was it, White Dove or something that got canned after 3 issues?
Well, the thing was
the old New 52.
One of the things with the New 52 was the creators weren't allowed to be creative. Like the editors had more control than the creators that were creating them, and it caused a lot of conflict, and a lot of people left because they weren't allowed to be creative, because it's always going to be that argument of who's more important, the editors or the creators. So
anyway, I show some modesty with Dr. Manhattan, and he wears a loincloth at least.
That's a debate for another show, as far as whether editors are more important than writers and artists, and so on and so on, or are they all equally just as important? Anyway, we got to go because we don't want to hold up the feed for the WWE pay-per-view pre-show. So everybody say their goodbyes and so on and so forth.
Goodbye, and we must have a Game of Thrones special on this show, because it is actually a comic book.
Well, Stanley, you know what? I'll let you come in one day and do a Game of Thrones report when the season's over. How about that?
And hey, Stanley, I urge you to go 5 minutes on said special without talking about Melisandre in your jar of peanut butter.
Yeah, but if I let you do that, you gotta do this seriously. You can't come up with this warped stuff that you like come up with. But let's another time. Let's say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
And we thank you for listening. We're out. Peace.